take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Hey! Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, May 6, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We got the best in news and information for you today here at 420radio.org, and we're so glad that you've joined us. At half past the hour, we're going to give you a look at the activist agenda. Of course, this weekend, we participated in the Global Cannabis March in Portland, where we probably had 500 people show up, nowhere near what they had in Argentina, where there was like 150 to 200,000 people showing up. I know Toronto and Vancouver also had big rallies as well, but we're going to bring you some video from our rally here in Portland, where my good friend and activist mentor, Madeline Martinez, the head of the world famous Cannabis Cafe and a member of the Normal Board of Directors, gave an impassioned speech at Pioneer Courthouse Square. We'll also give you my speech at Pioneer Courthouse Square, my first since being arrested in Utah. So check that out coming up at half past the hour. Also on today's show, we'll have time to get to a radical rant where I ask, is butane hash oil the crack of marijuana? And I don't mean that in a pharmacological sense, but in a public relations sense. We're going to take a look at the history of marijuana legalization and how it was derailed in the 1980s thanks to cocaine. And could BHO be what derails the momentum of legalization in the 2010s? Also, in Behind the Headlines, we're going to take a look at the fight that's going on in Minnesota right now over medical marijuana, where competing versions of a bill in the House and the Senate offer very drastically different options for medical marijuana, and why this shows how full legalization is the only thing that can help all medical marijuana patients. We've also got our Daily Toker Tunes for Electric Tuesday. We've got Electric Bob calling in a little bit later with a song from Wagon Christ. I love the name already. And we've also got our 420 radio news coming up right after this first break. We'll give you the latest from Minnesota, where that fight is going on over medical marijuana. We've also got a look at DEA Administrator Michelle Lenhart, who's openly opposing her boss, Attorney General Eric Holder. We've got a look at a new paper in the National Bureau of Economic Research that concludes workplace drug testing is good for the employment prospects of drug-free black men. And we've got a look at drug testing in Santa Clara, California, where 2,500 cases were done in error. And we wrap things up with the South Carolina Education Association and a candidate calling for legalization of marijuana to help schools. The news is next.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. 420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, May 6, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Competing versions of a bill in Minnesota offer drastically different approaches to medical marijuana. In the state Senate, a medical marijuana bill would create up to 55 sites statewide that could grow and dispense marijuana. The House version, meanwhile, would set up only one grow and dispensing site tied to a clinical trial for medical marijuana. The Senate version covers the standard 8 conditions, cancer, AIDS, cachexia, glaucoma, spasm, seizure, nausea, and pain, as well as post-traumatic stress, hepatitis C, Tourette's syndrome, and Lou Gehrig's disease. The House version eliminates pain and post-traumatic stress as conditions qualifying for medical marijuana. Both versions are similar in that neither allows patients to grow marijuana at home. Both versions also forbid the smoking of medical marijuana, and the House version goes so far as banning vaporization of medical marijuana unless there is a doctor or nurse present to supervise. The House version will get a floor vote this week, and the Senate version should be voted on later today. The governor, backed by law enforcement, opposes the Senate version. Medical marijuana advocates warn that the House version would be largely unworkable. DEA Administrator Michelle Lenhart is now publicly opposing her boss's plan to reform mandatory minimum drug sentencing. Attorney General Eric Holder is pushing the Smarter Sentencing Act to reduce the length of some mandatory minimum drug sentences. In testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee, Lenhart explained, quote, "Having been in law enforcement as an agent for 33 years and a Baltimore City police officer before that, I can tell you that for me and for the agents that work for DEA, mandatory minimums have been very important to our investigations. We depend on those as a way to ensure that the right sentences are going to the level of violator we are going after," end quote. Lenhart was backed by FBI Director Jim Comey, who told Huffington Post, quote, "I know from my experience that the mandatory minimums are an important tool in developing cooperators," end quote. AKA snitches. Numerous studies have shown that mandatory minimum sentences rarely punish the kingpins in a drug conspiracy, but rather disproportionately affect lower-level conspirators and sometimes their spouses and girlfriends when they know nobody higher to snitch on. A new paper in the National Bureau of Economic Research concludes that workplace drug testing actually improves the job prospects for drug-free black males, especially for low-skilled jobs. The catch is that drug testing seems to counter a common perception by employers that blacks use drugs more than whites, even though both groups use drugs at about equal rates. In a state without drug testing, employers discriminate against black men, prejudiced that they are drug users, and tend to hire more white women in their place. But states with drug testing were found to increase black employment by 7-30% and wages by 1.4-13%, as drug-free black males can prove they're worthy applicants. Speaking of drug testing, the Santa Clara County, California Crime Lab has admitted that the tests for methamphetamine given to about 2,500 defendants were mishandled. Workers at the lab had used the wrong chemical for their testing that grossly increased the sensitivity of the tests, leading to at least 7 known false positives. The Santa Clara County District Attorney acknowledged that human error will always find its way into the criminal justice system. While defense attorneys are speculating that this mistake, left uncorrected for 2 months, calls into question the veracity of any tests handled by this lab. Meanwhile, the Rape Kit Action Project estimates there are over 400,000 backlogged rape evidence kits sitting untested on police shelves, many due to the crime lab's need to test drug evidence for upcoming trials. A former teacher and former president of the South Carolina Education Association is calling on the legalization of marijuana in the Palmetto State to raise money for schools. Quote, "Between the tax dollars you could bring in and stop putting some of our kids in prison and such, we could probably raise about $188 million a year. And if that would be the case, that would be great because we could have the best schools in the nation. And that's what we're really looking for." End quote. Says Sheila Gallagher, who is running among three other Democrats and eight Republicans for the position of State Superintendent of Education. Gallagher doesn't expect the legislature to pass legalization, but would like them to consider putting it to a vote through a constitutional referendum. Gallagher explained, quote, "I'd like to turn it over to the people and say, here's an opportunity. Let's look at this whole idea of legalizing marijuana and see what it can do for us." End quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, May 6, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org. Click on Shows in the heading to get to the archives. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at the fight for medical marijuana in Minnesota that shows only legalization helps all medical marijuana patients. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go! Gordon Green's Music Planet, every Wednesday at 5 and 8 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. 15 after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines to learn how Minnesota's medical marijuana fight illustrates the need for full marijuana legalization. You know, I'm watching my Twitter feed today, and I've got a lot of friends up there with Minnesota Normal, and they've been live tweeting this debate over medical marijuana in the state legislature. So I already told you in the news how in the Senate they've got the fairly standard post-2010 no-home grow Box Canyon-style medical marijuana law. And over in the House, they have a very highly restricted, you can only use plant matter if you're vaporizing it with a doctor or nurse present model of medical marijuana. And what strikes me As I read the debate, is one common theme from some of the anti-medical marijuana legislators. It's something I've heard echoed in political halls ever since reformers decided to separate pot smokers into the sick people with a politically expedient sob story versus the reviled healthy people smoking pot for recreation. And the thing I keep hearing over and over is this silly idea that medical marijuana is a slippery slope. It goes something like this. Some legislator will say something to the effect of, well, of course we don't want to see anybody suffer, but this medical marijuana, it's just a slippery slope. It's a first step. It's a Trojan horse. It's the camel's nose under the tent for recreational marijuana legalization. Now, think for a moment about the logical implications of that sentence. One, people are suffering. I mean, they admit that openly. Two, medical marijuana would alleviate that suffering. I mean, they kind of admit that tacitly, right? We don't want to see anyone suffer, but... Number three, but medical marijuana would lead to recreational marijuana. Therefore, four, people must remain in suffering. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. A legislator willing to look at a cancer patient, an AIDS patient, an epileptic child, a person in pain, and anybody else who's suffering without medical marijuana, and being able to look them in the eye and say, well, I see you're suffering, but if we let you smoke pot for health, why, some adult might smoke pot for fun. As if adults weren't smoking pot for fun now, while patients suffer. So when you get right down to it, this isn't even a legislator judging that the suffering of a human being without medical marijuana is less of a moral affront than letting a human being smoke pot for fun. It's not even that. It's worse than that. Because whether or not medical marijuana exists doesn't stop or exacerbate recreational marijuana smoking. No. What these legislators are willing to do is let a dying person suffer rather than giving even the appearance of approving of an adult smoking pot. The mere threat of the possibility of the chance that medical marijuana might reduce the stigma of marijuana being completely forbidden, that some reviled recreational pothead might slip through the cracks and be unpunishable by law enforcement, why, that's all it takes for these invertebrate politicians to bow to the police and bow to the governor and accept the unnecessary suffering of seriously sick and disabled people. This is why, if medical marijuana activists really want to save the sick and dying, they need to end this fiction that some marijuana smokers are less deserving of a cage based on their medical charts. So long as there remains the reviled recreational pot smoker to demonize, detain, and discriminate against, there will remain a need for state laws and lawmakers to enact ever more stringent policies to make sure only the real, truly deserving patients are accepted from criminal prosecution. In other words, if you legalize for the pothead, every patient at any level will get their medicine. But if you only legalize for the patients, the definition of legitimate will always exclude some patient at some level and all potheads at any level. Now, people will respond to this by, you know, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and some states just aren't ready for recreational marijuana legalization. And I ask, why aren't those states ready? The nation is ready. We're getting 52 to 58% national support for legalization. The nation is ready. Whose job is it to get the people of the states ready? Whose job is it to educate the legislators as to why recreational marijuana legalization is the answer to the medical marijuana problem? Why, I think that would be us, the marijuana reformers. Come on, folks, let's all get back together. After 16, 18 years of medical marijuana, it's start time to fight for all of us again. All of us. Even if we're just getting high. All of us. He would sell you
South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
As marijuana goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on the Russ Belleville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's Earlywine, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com.
Support the Russ Belleville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belleville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belleville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 and a half after the hour. And before we get to our Daily Toker Tunes, I want to remind you that we're now in our new summer lineup here at 420radio.org. And you can catch our music shows, the news shows, at 8 p.m. Pacific time every weekday, different genre every weekday, with replays on that same day at 5 a.m., 8 a.m., and 5 p.m. So you'll hear last week's show this week at 5 a.m., 8 a.m., and 5 p.m., and then at 8 p.m., you get a new show. So that's pretty cool. And that show today would be Electric Bob's Boogaloo, because it is Electric Tuesday. And joining us for Electric Tuesday, we got Electric Bob on the line. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Russ?
I'm fantastic. Looking forward to the new show.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm going to have an experimental hip-hop mix this week. I'm going to do that up.
All right, little Tuesday-Thursday mix, like that little crossover going on there. And we've been listening to some great tunes you have been bringing to us for Electric Tuesday. So looking forward to more of those on your show and more replays. In addition to the replays that are on Tuesdays for you, we've got you on Saturdays, and I believe your Saturdays are at Saturday and Sunday, midnight and noon. So even more replays.
Oh, dope. That's awesome.
Yeah, just trying to spread it out and making, of course, 420 Radio the focus of our replay schedule, so our shows get more replays than our guest shows. Our guest shows will be on from 10 to 2 a.m. and p.m. All right, let's talk about today's song. First of all, the name of the group, Wagon Christ. What can you tell us about that?
It's one guy. His name's Luke Vibert. He's out of the U.K. He's been doing a lot of stuff since the mid-90s. He does like this kind of experimental hip-hop stuff. He does like acid jazz, breakbeat. He has a bunch of different aliases he goes under. He's just like, he's like the Pied Piper of the electronic music almost. He just does so much stuff and puts out so much stuff constantly.
All right.
This is off of his this is his wagon. It was like a really chill, like a downbeat, down tempo type of stuff. And this is off of his 98 release, Tally Ho.
All right. Wagon Christ from the 90s with Workout. Thank you, Electric Bob. We'll be listening for your show later tonight.
Support the Russ Belleville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belleville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belleville Show.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Whether cultivating plants is a hobby, health care, or business, we've got the shows on 420radio.org to give you all the help you need. Check out Tuesdays at 1 Pacific Weed Nerd with Subcool and Ms. Jill from the Emerald Triangle in Northern California. On Wednesdays at 1 Pacific, Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor of High Times Magazine, brings you Free Weed. And on Thursdays at 1 Pacific, Jorge Cervantes TV with one of the legendary growers, Jorge Cervantes, bringing you the best in grow tips from Barcelona, Spain. Find out our entire schedule at 420radio.org/programs and look for the replays in your time zone by visiting 420radio.org/schedule. All you need to make your garden grow right here on 420radio.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
And now Madeline Martinez at the Global Cannabis March. Enjoy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Everyone wake up! Yeah, we're here for a great cause today. This is the 15th annual Global Cannabis March right here in Portland's Pioneer Square, going on all over cities across the country. And Portland has been standing tall as well. And we're proud here today. I see so many faces that I've known, already meeting new people. Have some European press here. Come on, let's give it up. Let's get fired up. All right, we're running a little late here, so I'm going to get it going right now. One of our next speaker right now, about to bring it on. You guys definitely have got to know the world famous Cannabis Cafe. It's famous here in Portland, y'all. And the leader, Madeline Martinez, she's been involved in this community, in the marijuana movement for so many years. She's been instrumental, brought so much great news to what we do, and I can't thank her enough. And every time I see her, she brings a smile to my face. Madeline Martinez in the house! Yeah!
Yeah! Scott, what I'm talking about, he's one of the people that worked hard with me to create this march years ago with Cures Not Wars, and look at it going on again today. Yeah, we gotta go out there and we own these streets. As long as we march, we need to be respectful and we need to show them how many of us there are, and there is no going back. These are the last years, the last days of prohibition. These are the last days of prohibition. They can continue to say stuff about that they're going to bust you, but it is almost over, and that's why they are so upset. They have lost the war. They have lost the war. That is correct. In November, we will be legalizing. There are people out there that have petitions. Sign every single petition you can once. Do not sign them twice because you will cause that shit to be lost. So please, go out there, sign all of them. There are three of them. I'm working with Oregon, with a new approach, Oregon, Initiative 22. So get over here. We've got a booth over here with Anthony Johnson and the rest of our group, and we'd like for you to sign it. There's another petition over here. CRRH is doing OCTA. So get over there and sign that one. I've signed both of them. So I would, now I'm getting ready to sign ours. So sign them all, get those petitions. Let's get it on the ballot. And let's show them what we're all about in the state of Oregon. People shouldn't go to jail. And don't forget to vote. If you're in District 2, Teresa Rayford, she is one of us. And how are we going to change it unless we get one of us in office? Let her start here as a county commissioner, and then she'll move on to the governor's house. And that's how we're going to change it, because we have to get into office, folks. It's not enough for us to complain. Put your joint down. Step away from your rig. Stop dabbing for a minute. Make a phone call. Send a fax. Make it happen, because us sitting around bitching about it isn't going to work. It doesn't change a thing. If you're pissed off, let them know. They represent you. They represent us. And we are government. So don't sit there and let them do it. You let your voice be heard, just like today. Be respectful, March, Iko, and all of you guys who put this together. Scott, thank you so very much. I love you guys. Legalize.
That's right, Madeline Martinez right there. On the national norm.
Vancouver, Washington, thesyndicate.com. Probably also have a Bandcamp page. You can check out their music. Definitely support them. They've been supporting this cause for a while now, and we appreciate them coming and supporting us for the 15th annual Global Cannabis March! As we support freedom. That's right, freedom is the key word today, and marijuana. And we appreciate both, and that's what we're striving for. All right, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We have more music coming up. We have Disenchanter coming up here in a little while. We have more speakers coming up. We have Justin Bridges coming up. And right now, from 420radio.org, Ross Belville. Let's put it together, guys.
Good afternoon, Portland. Good afternoon, marijuana reformers. And since last night, I've just been wanting to say one thing on a microphone. Rip City! This is my 103rd marijuana event. I've done 103 marijuana events in 19 different states. And one of the speeches that always gets given, either by a lawyer or a reformer, oftentimes multiple times, and you've already heard it today from Paul Loney, is what you're supposed to say in a police encounter. I do not consent to any searches. Am I free to go? Why did you pull me over? Etc. And I got to thinking, because 16 days ago, I got to be an invited guest of the Box Elder County Sheriff's Department for a free ride in a cop car and 8.5 hours in detention. $5,000 later, my friend and I were finally bailed out. It did not matter that my driver was a medical marijuana patient. It did not matter that my friend was a medical marijuana patient. What mattered to the state of Utah was that we had Oregon plates and a guy in the car with long dreadlocks. We were profiled as we stopped at a little rest stop, truck stop 7 miles into Utah. We were profiled by the cops who were sitting there watching. They phoned ahead to their fella, the canine officer sitting in the median on I-84 headed eastbound, who then proceeded to pull us over 4 miles down the road because our window tint was too dark. Because when there's a car going by at 80 miles an hour and you're sitting in the median, it's really easy to tell that a window tint is 12% too dark. That was the pretext for pulling us over, and I learned a very, very important set of lessons there. The number one is, while you're in a car pulled over with a bunch of other folks, your rights are only as protected as the weakest link in the car. You may know everything to say and do, but if someone else in the car doesn't, you could end up with a free ride in a cop car. And I got to thinking, why is this? We say this at every event. We tell people, don't talk to cops, refuse searches, etc. But why doesn't it stick? And I think I figured out why. Imagine if you had just met someone who had never, ever seen the game of basketball. And you said, hey, you're going to go play basketball. I'm going to set you up with these four other guys. We need you to dribble and pass and shoot and rebound. How well do you think the guy would do? He doesn't know what the hell dribble means. He doesn't know what rebound means. He might have a clue what shot is. And that's the way we've been treating this issue of how to deal with cops. We tell you what to say, but not how or why or what's going on. How is the game played? What are the rules? So the number one thing you need to know, first and foremost, is we are at war. President Nixon declared war against us cannabis consumers, public enemy number one. You ever see those old World War II movies when they capture the POW, they capture the American soldier, they start to question him? What does the POW guy say? He says, name, rank, and serial number. Bob Johnson, Captain 519-335564, whatever. And that's all he says. Name, rank, and serial number. Those cops are just as much our enemy as any enemy we fought in any war. So why are we as soldiers saying anything else but our name, rank, and serial number? Here is how a police encounter goes down. When you're pulled over off the side of the road, the reason why is because the cop has some articulable suspicion as to why he pulled you over. Now, it may be bullshit. Your license plate light was out, or your tint was too dark, or you were weaving across the road, or I just have a hair up my ass to pull over someone with a normal sticker, or long hair, or a tattoo sleeve. It doesn't matter. They're going to come up with some excuse. But the minute you're pulled over in that situation, game on, and that's the game. Let me give you the example from our situation. The cop pulls us over, says it's for window tint. From that point on, he starts to engage in conversation because, you know, the cop is a friendly fellow and only wishes to have a nice conversation with us. No, the cop is an armed officer of the law whose only job is to gather evidence to arrest and convict you. He is not your friend. He is not interested in your day. He doesn't give a shit where you're going. He wants to collect evidence to arrest and convict you in a court of law. So, when that cop said, window tint is why I pulled you over, from that point forward, window tint is all we talk about. Cop says, where are you headed? Officer, what does that have to do with our window tint? So, what do you do for a living? I don't see how that has anything to do with our window tint. Are we free to go yet? We need to take the attitude that we are free citizens and that this interruption by the police is an affront. They're not doing us any favors. They are disturbing free individuals executing their constitutional rights to travel across the country freely. We need to be pissed off that they pulled us over. And every response becomes, what does this have to do with speeding? What does this have to do with the window tint? Whatever the excuse is. And we continually say, are we free to go? Am I free to go? Am I being detained? I don't consent to any searches. That's when those things can come up. And when in doubt, just STFU. Stop talking in front of uniforms. Nothing you can say is going to get you less busted, but something you say may get you more busted. Keep that in mind. Always assert your rights. Check out a website called flexyourrights.org. Flexyourrights.org. They've got all sorts of tutorials on how to deal with cops. I thought I knew. I'm the guy up here who's always saying it. And even I had difficulty because of the fear and the adrenaline and the shock that goes through you when you're pulled over. Practice this with your friends. Learn how not to talk to cops. Learn how to assert your rights. And maybe it won't cost you $5,000 and 8.5 hours in jail to make this happen. I'm Radical Russ, 420radio.org. Peace. Yeah.
Right on. Thank you so much, Russ Belville, 420radio.org. You can also read his writings and ramblings on HighTimesMagazine.com. All right, thank you.
All right, big thanks to Herb Thrasher, who was an excellent MC for the event this last Saturday, the Global Cannabis March, my 10th March. And big thanks also to Madeline Martinez from the Cannabis Cafe, world-famous Cannabis Cafe here in Portland, Oregon. For those of you watching on the webcam, you can see that picture. It's our throwback picture. Me and Madeline Martinez in April of 2007 in front of the Bush White House. In the next two pictures, we're smoking a joint, but I'll just leave that picture up for now. We're back with a radical rant when we come back after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
Teacher tells us all we gotta do is just say no. And the other day, a policeman came to our class talking about say no too. But my teacher doesn't have to walk home to this neighborhood. And maybe the dealers aren't scared of the police. But they're not scared of me. And they sure don't take no for an answer.
Kevin Scott and all the other kids who take the long way home. We hear you. Don't give up.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Is butane hash oil the crack of marijuana? Provocative question, I understand. About 2.5 years ago, I know better than anyone else because I wrote an article entitled The Danger of Dabs. It got me more hate mail than just about anything I've written. And presumably from the 710 crowd reading the title only and thinking I was vilifying the cannabis concentrate itself. Had they continued reading, they would have reached the point, which was this. With Dabs, your local Action News team gets to do a marijuana story that shows crack pipe torches used on sticky heroin-looking goo made from a process that blows up like meth labs. The danger of Dabs isn't so much physical as it is a public relations nightmare. Well, 2.5 years later, it hasn't just been the local Action News team. It's been one of the big four national networks and the Associated Press. Let me adjust that. I saw this come across Fox News today as well. So two of the big four national networks. But at the time I wrote this, it was just ABC News, which has done many stories on the phenomenon of residential explosions from home butane hash oil manufacture gone wrong, or BHO. Their latest reprint of the Associated Press story, Hash Oil Explosions Rise with Legalized Marijuana, offers some alarming statistics. First, referring to the marijuana concentrate as the drug's intoxicating oil, which is incorrect because intoxicating doesn't really apply, but let's just go on. The story notes that Colorado's only state-certified burn center treated one victim of a BHO explosion in 2012, 11 victims of BHO explosions in 2013, and just 4 months into 2014, they've treated 10 people, on pace for 30 by year's end. Also, talking to firefighters, they say they responded to 31 BHO explosions in 2014, compared to just 11 for all of last year. Now, as a student of Prohibition history, I'm reminded of the 1970s. The support for marijuana legalization in the Gallup poll rose from 12% nationally in 1969 to 30% nationally by 1978. And in the 5 years between 1973 and 1978, starting with Oregon and ending with Nebraska, 11 states decriminalized pot, ending the threat of arrest for personal possession. At the time, legalization seemed inevitable as young people enjoyed the ascendance of marijuana's popularity. But waiting in the wings were those who hated marijuana and all it stood for. Some were business people fighting natural competition from hemp and marijuana. Others were parents fighting to keep their kids sober. Still others were prudes who were just morally opposed to anybody having a good time. And then there were some who were fighting marijuana as a stand-in for other culture wars over Vietnam and civil rights and women's rights and commies. Now, while those people were losing ground in the national mood toward Mary Jane, much like they are today, they gained an unexpected public relations ally in Snow White. In the late 1970s, cocaine and marijuana were party buddies. It wasn't uncommon to see partygoers with a necklace from which dangled a tiny cocaine spoon. The tap-tap-sniff-sniff sound in the bathroom was normal. And High Times magazine, famous now for marijuana cultivation, featured centerfolds of lines of coke alongside bountiful buds and bodacious babes. An ad for Pure Research in April of 1978 shows a mound of powder, a razor blade, and a professional scale, and a purity test kit for crystalline substances. There is an article, Legal Cocaine, A Plan for the 80s, that was on a cover tease for an article from March of 1979 entitled Mom Apple Pie and Cocaine. Of course, my personal favorite is the Christmas 1980 High Times cover featuring a sexy woman in red lingerie offering up four lines of cocaine on a mirror in bed. By the time you hit the 1980s, you get President Ronald Reagan saying smoking even one joint was as damaging to the brain as nuclear fallout from a nuclear weapon, as dangerous as radiation. Seriously, he said this. Parents groups sprung up and got a whole lot of attention, showing off the most extreme pot paraphernalia they could find. A gas mask bong! Oh no! And then the knockout punch for legalization came when marijuana's powdery friend started burning up freebasers like Richard Pryor, killing great talents like John Belushi and Len Bias, and evolving into a cheap, potent, smokable form called crack. Very quickly, what had been a me generation celebrating freedom and getting high flipped to a generation of baby boomers becoming parents who rejected the libertine ways of the 1970s and embraced the just-say-no Miami Vice crack baby scaremongering of the 1980s. Public support for marijuana legalization bottomed out at 16% and didn't top the previous mark of 30% again until the 2000s. So, is butane hash oil the crack cocaine of the 2010s? Now, not pharmacologically, of course. I mean, you can become seriously addicted to cocaine, overdose, and die from it, whereas the worst effect from overdabbing is extreme coughing, vomiting, or passing out. But as a public relations nightmare, as a killer of legalization momentum, and as a residential explosion danger, could BHO do to marijuana now what cocaine did to marijuana then? One thing our opponents can say accurately about marijuana prohibition is that it does raise the cost of marijuana. While prohibition has led to cheaper cocaine, meth, and heroin, cannabis is about double its 1980s cost in inflation-adjusted dollars. When marijuana is expensive, there's more profit to be made from it in plant form. But through legalization, marijuana becomes cheaper, even with exorbitant taxation. Check any weed price aggregator on the web and you'll find the cheapest high-quality marijuana where there are the most liberal medical marijuana and legalization laws. Where weed is cheap and plentiful, there is far more excess trim around to blast into butane hash oil and more profit incentive to make it. It fetches between $10 to $40 a gram in the green states and up to $100 a gram in the prohibition states. I believe the genie's out of the bottle, so to speak, on butane hash oil. I mean, there's far too many YouTube videos showing how to do it, and it's not exactly Breaking Bad Heisenberg level of chemistry. Maintaining or returning to marijuana prohibition isn't going to stop profiteers from blasting BHO. It will just make it all that more profitable. And a large segment of the cannabis community, judging from the popularity of extract-related booths at every marijuana trade show I attend, has switched completely to concentrates only, saying 710 is the new 420, and eschewing any ingestion of plant matter. The law of supply and demand dictates that someone will always be making BHO for them. But the cynic in me wonders how many tales of teens who reject flower entirely in favor of surreptitious oil hits off concealable vapor pens in classrooms, how many of those is it going to take to ignite the next moral panic among parents? When will we see that hash oil explosion in an apartment complex that doesn't just burn a couple of ignorant young adult hash makers, but burns down the homes and kills members of a few innocent families? How long before the sensational story and accompanying pictures of toddlers with third-degree burns from a hash oil explosion are used by a politician arguing against even a decrim bill in a prohibition state? We can make all the factual arguments we like about a few bad apples or how home deep-fried turkey basting causes more fires every year than BHO, but in the face of a moral panic, emotion will trump logic every time. We'll talk about it some more in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? on dope.
Or you can tote.
I inhaled frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can talk and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful pot.